Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone. You with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We are here broadcasting in Fresno, California. Fresno, California, man, it's been a hot day today. I believe it was 101 today here in Fresno. And hope everyone is drinking a lot of water. And, you know, I guess the sunset is set now. It's kind of cooling off, I guess. But just been a real, real hot day today. And, wow, you know, my day starts like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was telling someone today, I said, man, I'll be lucky if I get 4 hours of sleep. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, I'll do what I got to do. You know, let's start again. I'd like to welcome you to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. And I'd like to give a shout out to all of the freedom fighters, those who are on the front lines. I'd like to give our condolences to Congressman John Lewis for all of his dedication, things that he has done in this country. We know that he was, as a young man, he was one of the ones who marched across the Selma Bridge. And he was beaten by the state troopers. Congressman John Lewis came to Fresno, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 years ago, but I had a chance to meet him, take a picture with him. And so, you know, we were just still tilling the ground. And we'd like to thank Aline for her show last night. She was talking about food during the pandemic that we're dealing with here. She's our chairwoman of the Fresno Freedom School, proud to have her leading my organization. She is a pioneer of Fresno. She's a pillar of Fresno. She loves people. And those are the type of people I like being around. And so we have a very exciting show for you tonight. Last night, I was telling Aline, who hosted her show, that we were going to have a show, a special show tonight, about a organization that is in West Fresno that is doing a lot of good positive things in the community. And, you know, and I just had an opportunity to go over and look at the project here. It's not maybe probably about 2 blocks from my church. Just north south of my church. We call that the Sunset Area, And so we have some callers online. I'm going to go ahead and bring them in. Just say hello to everybody one more time. And just like to thank those who supported the Fresno Freedom School Farmers Market. I've been cooking all day, to tell you the truth. I have cooked some. Man, I made a nice big salad today out of the tomatoes that we've gotten from the Freedom School. And just a lot of, you know, peppers and things like that I put in my food today. You can go to my Facebook and check it out, see what I made. Made some beans, also put some okra, some of that Fresno Freedom School okra in there. Made some cornbread. Oh, my God, it was just off the chain. But anyway, I'm going to bring our host for Tuesday night in. She visited location yesterday, and I'd like to get her perspective of that, and we're going to bring in our guest. Welcome, 5172. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Welcome to our show.
I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear.
All righty. This is Aline. That very nice intro. I did have a chance to visit the Housing Authority Urban Farm Project site you were talking about. I had a chance to meet and get a tour with Chris and Amber and learned a lot about what they're doing at that site. And how exciting it must be. So I was excited to hear that you were going to have them on the show tonight.
Yes, yes. I had an opportunity to come over. And, you know, Chris has been very supportive of the Fresno Freedom School. I believe he was at both of our farmers market. I had a chance to meet Amber as well. And he's just a very good-hearted young man who really loves people. He really loves to partner and network. And, you know, it was just an honor. You know, I asked him, would he like to come on our show? He said, yeah. And, you know, we, those of you who are watching the show, you can click on the show and you can see the rotating pictures. And you can see him over at their farm, as well as the Fresno Freedom School, as well as our chairwoman, Aline. And so, you know, we want to just dive into this show tonight. I know he has a lot to say. I'm not sure Amber is going to be on. But I do see his phone number up on the screen. But before I bring him in, I just want to go ahead and bring in 3205, 3205. Welcome to our show. Just say hello to us tonight, 3205.
And good evening, Pastor Harris and Sister Aline Lee. This is Brother Tony Bullock. How's everyone doing?
All right.
Hey, my brother. Good to have you on the show tonight. And this is another freedom fighter in the community. And I'd just like to thank you for tuning in tonight. We're just going to dive right into this. We're going to peel this onion one layer at a time. We're going to dissect it and get a lot of good information and see how we can build, make Fresno a better place to live. 8914, welcome to Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. You are our guest tonight, Dr. Chris. Welcome to our show. We have listeners that's listening across the world. We have on live stream, so you have the floor. Tell us a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about your project here in Southwest and West Fresno.
Awesome. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Awesome. Okay. Like you mentioned, my name is Chris DeLeon. I grew up in Southeast Fresno, and then I went to Edison in South to high school at Edison in Southwest. Because I was part of the Computech program, so I went to Computech and then I went to Edison. And growing up, I was always like interested in science and in like community. I was part of the Youth Leadership Institute group that's really active with like high schoolers and getting them engaged in like their communities. And that's when we really started to look at like our neighborhood. And so some of the issues that we saw was like in Southeast, where I grew up, and there's tons and tons of liquor stores. We were looking at like the liquor store problem. And then when we were looking at like Southwest, there was like no access to grocery stores, right. And to like healthy food. And we were talking about like, where does one go to like access healthy food and like why there was disinvestment, in Southwest and redlining and just like analyzing like the history of like these issues that happen in our communities. And it just didn't seem like it didn't seem right. These things are like, they seem so simple when I was in high school. They were like, well, why don't we just build like a grocery store? And it was like, well, here there was like redlining and here's what happened. And so then I was like, okay, well, where do grocery stores get their food? They someone grows it, right? Like, how come we don't just like grow food here? And so that was something that I didn't get a lot of pushback on because we were like, well, yeah, like you could just grow food. And I was like, oh, okay. So when I was at Edison, I was like, okay, we're going to start like a garden so that we could like give out the food. And I tried to start started a garden club at Edison. And then I tried to start a garden. And then we didn't have the funds. Someone told me something about grants and I was like, oh, sure. I'll like try to apply for a grant. But I was in high school, so it was a little bit harder than I thought. And so I was like, okay, well, like I think this is like what I want to do. And so I went to Fresno Pacific, and I like studied environmental studies there, so that I could really focus on like how we as people interact with the land and how the land interacts with us and all of the ways that it gets really messed up and that harms us back, is all on like our connectedness with the land. And so I was really interested in food. And so that's kind of what I pursued. I went to Seattle and studied urban farms and urban gardens. And I did like a lot of my practicums on like food systems. And then after school, I was like, okay, like now's the time to come back, right? To come back to my original mission, which was to like start growing food and start like teaching about healthy food and nutrition and gardening. And so I started working at CalFresh for the CalFresh Nutrition Education Program. And I was teaching at the elementary school. So I was teaching at King Elementary, at Kirk Elementary, and at Columbia Elementary, which are all in Southwest. And I was also partnering with the Rescue Mission, and I was teaching an urban gardening and nutrition class at Rescue the Children, which is a women's rehab center, where we had like classes there on like how to plan your meals and how to cook a healthy food, how to grow your own food, and we would use all the food from the garden because they would get donation food, so it was really helpful for them to have fresh fruits and vegetables that they could grow on site. And it gave them something to like to do physically, like hands on. So it was really rewarding. So that was like kind of my, I guess my path. And then I had heard that Fresno Metro started to hire. They were starting the garden that I remember I wanted to do when I was in Edison. I had heard that they were going to do a project in Southwest. I knew they did the Lowell Community Garden, which I helped build when I was in high school because I volunteered for that. And so I was really excited, and I reached out to them, and I told them, like where I've been and what I did and why I was really interested in getting the position. Now I really wanted to, like, to be part of this project. And so that's how I got hired at Fresno Metro. And my first day, they were like, okay, cool. Like, we're going to go out to this empty field that's behind the Yosemite Village apartment complex on California and Fruit, and we're going to look at this empty field that, like, you're so excited about and turning into a garden. Yeah, so that was like my first day on the job, and ever since then we've been trying to figure out how to get it going. And I can give you all a little background on like the site and how I got established. So there was the person before me was Tom Matat, and he was really engaged with the community, and he was trying to work with the housing authority to build like urban farms and gardens, but really mostly just try to listen to the residents and see what kinds of things they wanted to see. So on the plans before, there was a plan to build a smaller garden there, right? So right now we have like 7.5 acres, but before it was just like 2 acres, I believe, was the first plan, and then another acre was going to go next to the Pavarello house so that they can provide also some fresh fruits and vegetables and garden and stuff like that there. But the soils next to the Pavarello house had a lot of, I think there was too much lead in the ground. There was like a carpet company there before, and it left the ground unusable.
Yeah.
Our grants were not going to be able to cover that, right? Like they would literally have to like scoop out all of the dirt and take it out and line the bottom and add new dirt. So like, you know, when you're trying to do it with grants, that doesn't really necessarily plan out. And so that project had to get, had to be left, and so that that funding got shifted over there, the one on California and Fruit, and so that allowed us to extend it to 3 acres, and then that's like when Tom in 2016 he was meeting with the residents there at the Yosemite Village Apartments, along with the sociology class from Fresno State. They surveyed tons of the residents. They did a garden design class where they talked about like all of the kind of green spaces they would like to see, what are their biggest needs. And they mentioned something about getting access to fresh fruits or vegetables or buying groceries in general. It was really hard for those that didn't have transportation to bring lots of groceries back home. So they would compromise getting like healthy food because, you know, like, if you have to carry a lot of stuff, they would carry things that would last a while that they can carry easily home. And so that was like one of the biggest barriers. And so they started working on building a garden design that would really fit the community. And that was one of the pictures that's on this slide rotating. It's a really colorful one. So they really wanted it to be like a place where they can walk around and have walk spaces and have children playground areas. They wanted garden areas, and they really wanted a circle design so that it can look really peaceful and they can feel like they can walk around and get exercise on it.
Right.
And so that's like where that design came from. And then after taking that design to the city, then that's how it started being tweaked, you know, like to make sure that it still fits under city code. And so that's like the process that we had to go through. Then we had another grant that also, like, the site that we were going to do it at didn't really pan out, but we already had it, but it was an urban farm training grant, right? To develop urban farmers that know how to grow in the city. They know how to grow in empty lots without using, like, you know, like just trying to integrate it into the community. So if there's people living next door, like being a tentful that, like, if you spray something and they live next door, like, it's going to affect their health. So how do you engage the community in trying to create, like, a very regenerative system that's going to give back to the community and not just, like, displace people and also not just, like, use their land that's in their neighborhood, but, like, really engage people that live there. And so that was, like, that whole program. So it just got switched here because there's lots of land, right? There's 7.5 acres. There's way more still there that's unused. But we just transferred that over. And so that's how we got that 7.5 acre community garden / urban farm incubator program. That is the Yosemite Village community garden and farm. And so as of right now, we have 24 residents gardening the front. We've just been focusing on developing the community garden plot. And then we just started working on the applications for the farm incubator plot. So then we can start having some people that can really start producing large amounts of food. And we can start having, just like Fresno Freedom School has, you know, the farmers markets. We also want to once a week open it up, train them how to market their food, but also providing, like, really easy discounted fresh fruits and vegetables to the local residents there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Chris, so this is Ellen. Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. Between yourself and Amber, have you guys met your resident participation goals? I know you have 24. Is that how many you were shooting for, or is it just, you know, who showed up and you're working with that?
So our goal on the grant is to reach 40 people, but we're putting in, like, 98 garden plots. And so we're just, like, trying to reach in as many people as we can from the 93706 region. So we dedicated ourselves to not open up the site, because there's definitely been interest. We have three other community gardens that Amber and I manage throughout Fresno. There's one on Peach and Butler in Southeast Fresno, and that one has 95 garden plots, and our wait list is 50 people.
Wow.
So there's definitely lots of interest, right? And that one is predominantly Hmong community members who want to grow, like, culturally appropriate food. So our dedication, we wanted to do, like, a play space. Like, we really wanted to engage the residents that live in the Yosemite Village apartments and in the Mariposa Meadows. So all of the gardeners right now are all from those two housing sites. And then once we, like, are certain that we did our due diligence with those residents, then that's when we also wanted to start to go out, right? Like, center-based, then we wanted to go out. So I was so excited when I found out that Floyd was right there and Fresno Freedom School was so close. I was like, this works out so perfectly.
Yeah.
This is what our plan was, to
make
try to
be.
Make it a central.
Great.
Yeah.
Chris, this is me one more time. I had a lot of questions I wanted to ask you and Amber yesterday, but we really didn't have the time, and I had to go to work. But I wanted to ask, and this might be a little premature, you might have already covered this with Reverend Harris. Where do you see your program going, you know, like in the next 5 years? Where would you like it to be?
Yeah, so in this next year, we want to open up the farm training program and really get some people growing there. We want to open up the farm stand. We had planned, we were already pre-COVID, we were going to start having gardening classes once a month or workshops. That could either be for kids or for parents or adults. We were we were reaching out to, we had like in our plan to do canvassing to all of the homes and ask people like, what kinds of workshops would you like to see? What kind of events do you want to have? We were going to have like an Easter egg hunt. We were going to have a pumpkin patch. And so there was like a lot of plans that we can do on community engagement. But you know, with COVID, we kind of had to put a pause on those things. So we're trying to come up with ways to re-engage residents, because right now, instead of canvassing, we're doing phone banking. Like, we're just calling people on the phone, which, I mean, it's something, but it's so hard to just cold call someone and say, like, hey, I'm not trying to sell you anything, I promise. We have a garden. Like,
yeah, I can probably see Reverend Harris, you know, nodding his head because of the cross-pollination of ideas. Fresno Freedom School has had those same kind of inclinations about the pumpkin patch and our fall activities and things like that. And maybe going forward, that might be some of the things that we can partner with Metro Ministries. But anyway, I'm going to be quiet and just listen because somebody else might have questions as well.
No, thank you so much for the questions. I think they're really helpful.
No problem. I've got more. I had a couple more. I was going to ask, and you sort of alluded to this, Chris, but this is my like last question for real. The class that was working with your program from Fresno State, and you said that there was a sociology class, are they tracking things like health improvement with the residents, you know, social interaction with younger people who might be, you know, going the wrong way and decide that, hey, you know, urban farming is my thing now instead of hanging out on the corner with my friends. Is anybody tracking that kind of information?
Yeah, so in 2016 or 2015, like when this project first was starting, they did a whole preliminary study that like captured pretty much just like an overview of the residents that lived in the area. And it was mostly in Yosemite Village apartments, and it was just like, where do they shop for their grocery stores? What kinds of foods do they eat? Would they eat healthier if they had access? How do they feel about like their mental health, their physical health, employment and things like that? And we really wanted to show like getting access to more fresh fruits and vegetables will give people more skills. It'll give people more access to healthy food, improve mental health and well-being. And also like, generally, right, like our first mission is to provide more food to the residents. So that was like, it was done preliminary, and then the site plans were finished in 2016, and then it took us until 2018-19 to finally get our site plans approved. So there was like 2 years where residents were like really engaged in the beginning, and then we had to go through the site plan approval plan. And it's the Yosemite Village community garden and farm is so different because not like a traditional farm. So once we were like applying, you can't really make it a traditional farm because you can't have like farms that big like next to residential. But we were like, but it's also not like a small garden, it's like somewhere in between, and we ended up putting it under like urban greening, you know, like you have to find the right finesse with the codes, the city codes. Yeah, and so it was a learning process for everyone, definitely, for sure. But I think it made a great framework of how we can do urban farming in Fresno, right? You would think it's Fresno, like where there's lots of food growing, but urban farming is still definitely something very new.
Wow.
Right. Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. My name is Tony Bullock. I also work with Dr. Harris and Eileen Reed. And I think it's wonderful that you guys are doing this. Now, I was thinking about the grant. Now, the grant, now, is this connected through Fresno Metro? Are we talking about the PD or another part of Fresno Metro?
So this is all through Fresno Metro. So we have I work for Fresno Metro. I'm the community gardens manager. And what we do is we pretty much partner with other organizations to bring access to food or to or to gardens or whatever is needed in the community.
Right.
Into those areas. So we have the food to share program, which we pick up food that's going to be thrown away at schools and at retail stores, like at grocery outlet and other places like that, that they're going to throw away the food because they have to like turn around shelves. But a lot of that food is still perfectly edible, great food. So we pick it up. We have drivers that work with us, and they pick up that food and they take it to different churches and community centers around Fresno, who then redistribute mm-hmm. that food so it does not go into the landfill. So that's one of our programs. Then we have Better Blackstone, which focuses on like revitalizing communities. They're working on the Blackstone corridor to bring it back to life, add more like things that the residents would like to see from there, and really engage the community in how to advocate for their neighborhoods. And then we have the gardens program, which is I'm in charge of, and we have like four community gardens in Fresno. So one's in the Lowell neighborhood, the Lowell Community Garden. One's on Belmont and Fowler in East Fresno, and then the one that I mentioned, the largest one in Southeast Fresno, on Belmont.
Right.
Yeah. So we pretty our overall mission is just healthy people, healthy places. And how do we listen to residents and really like resonate the things that they need in their communities?
Right, exactly. Now, you were saying working with the people in the community, do you find that you get more of a mix of the older generation, or are you kind of like getting everybody from, you know, all age groups?
Right now with I think that our other gardens that we have are definitely like older Hmong, like Hmong people in the Southeast ones. But the one right now in Southwest, actually, so we have definitely some older folk there too, but the youngest person that's a gardener in the Southwest one is 7 years old. He has his own farm. Yeah, he like, so I was out there, I was working on the drip irrigation for the trees, and then he like rolled up with his little bike. He was like speeding super fast through our like road that we have on there, and he just like turned and like swiveled his whole bike and like lifted up the dirt, and like it was very theatrical. And he like, he goes, like he tells me in Spanish, because he only speaks Spanish, and he's like, hey. I'm like, oh, hey, like, what's up? And he was like, you in charge of here? And I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, okay, I want a garden plot. And I was like, oh okay. Like, do you want to sign up? Like, and I told him, like, how to sign up. And he was like, oh, I need my mom. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, let me go get her. And he went, and he got his mom. And she signed him up. And she was like, yeah, he, like, knows a lot. We had, like, this little ranch back where we're from. And now, like, he doesn't have a space to grow food or, like, as an outlet. And he got his uncle to get a plot, and his aunt, and his cousin. And now there's, like, a lot of his family members have plots there too. And every time, like whenever they need something, they like tell him to come tell me. And he's like, hey, like we need it. And he's like very straightforward, because that's mm-hmm. how he talks. But mm-hmm. yeah, like half of the residents that are gardeners only speak Spanish from
that's
like the Mariposa.
That's
yeah.
So he's the youngest. Who do you think will be the oldest that you
know? I'm afraid to ask. I don't want to ask him their ages.
Smart move.
Smart man, Chris. Smart man.
I would say around like maybe 50, 60, 70. I'm just giving you like an overall.
Right.
I have not asked for their ages.
Right.
I think that's awesome. Thank you, Brother Bullock, for asking that question.
Yeah. Oh, no. You know, doing something like this, a community garden, and I like the concept that Chris has put together. The fact that they're that just kind of focusing on one neighborhood, but they're trying to get around the city in certain areas. There are some 50 spots out here where I'm at. I'd love to see some happen with those. So maybe I need to talk to Brother Daleon about this a little later on. But I think what you're doing is great. People don't realize that services like this are available because they don't get the press. They don't get talked about like other things do. And for you to even come on Dr. Harris' show and bring this out to light is a beautiful thing, man. Appreciate you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and our future goal for this is once we get the site going, like, we really want this to be a hub. We don't want this to be, like, the site. Like we mentioned, we had the three training areas. So we were talking to some of the other, like, Spanish-speaking pastors in Southwest. And we were meeting with them and telling them about our site and our project. And we were in an area where they had, like, a huge empty lot that they weren't doing anything with. And they were like, oh, well, like, can you grow here? And I was like, oh, well, like, right now we're really focusing on this site. But then that started, like, getting our gears turning of, like, okay, like, there's one place we have to keep in mind. And so, like, as we start meeting other people, too, that definitely, like, if there's lots of empty vacant lots, too, in Southwest, if there's someone that's interested, we're really, like, thinking about in the future, like, we want to partner with those people that have the land, and we can bring someone and train them how to do, like, urban farming and have them farm their land and being able to sell, like, at their church, you know, provide something maybe during service. People can go to church and get their produce. That would be amazing. That way, you know, it would be, like, multi-use, right? Like, lots of different things that you would get there, lots of different services, way better ways to be able to help people because you can literally feed people. So it's really exciting to, like, think of, like, how we can partner with this. We definitely want to, like, get just our goal is to try to get growing as fast as we can, like, food, so then we can start having these Saturday markets, too. But I've definitely been visiting Fresno Freedom School because I think it's awesome to see, like, how they do it and try to learn from their different, like, you know, they, like, do the drive-through one, try to think of if COVID doesn't go back to normal, how can we have, like, a social distancing farmer's market, or do we deliver or take it to people's houses, and how are we going to make this work?
Right. Reverend Harris, I was sharing with Chris a little bit about the outreach you did with some of the black churches in Southwest.
Yeah, thank our guest, Brother Chris, who works for Metro Ministry. I do know Mr. Burkhoff, first name. He's leading that organization. The organization when Walt Perry was there many, many years ago. And it's been really an organization that's really has a social justice in mind, really care about, you know, changing our community to better fibric than what it is. And, you know, and it's just an honor to, I've always been, you know, trying to figure out, you know, who can we work with, who can we partner with. And one of the things with me, of those who know me, you know, when we say partner, we say collaborate, you know, it has to be a fair relationship, you know, and not a one-way, but a two-way street. And so I feel that, you know, meeting Brother Chris, and I think it's Sister Amy, I think that's if I have her name right, Sister Amy, I had an opportunity to meet her too, and to just walk the grounds, you know, to just really take a visual look at, you know, the creation of Mother Nature and the different residents who's putting sweat equity in their plots, you know, and I tell you, the plots really, really cool to look at. I mean, you know, there's different shapes, there's different vegetables growing there now. I thought I seen some tomatoes, you know, I thought I seen some corn, you know, some herbs, you know, just really, the folks just need to be commended for, you know, I say it's a revolutionary. I mean, Freedom School, we grow food every year. We grow food in the winter. And for us, it's revolutionary, you know, because what people must understand is that when you purchase food from Winco and Costco and Walmart and whatever the names of those stores it has, you have to understand that a lot of that food, if not all of it, been sprayed with pesticides to have more shelf life. A lot of these big time farmers, you know, they grow their oranges and they put them whole story for you too, and they want to sell them. So, you know, Freedom School, thing we grow is organic. You know, if we do spray, there's home remedies. You know, there's no pesticides on there to kill, you know, the human. But, you know, even in our school, Fresno Freedom School, you know, we teach our children. Really, our children teach us. We teach. But anyway, one day I was walking with, I believe it was one of Rhea's daughters. I believe her name is Kayla. And I seen this red rhino. And it's like its wings came open or something. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm going to kill this bug right here. And so as I went to kill the bug, I believe Maria says, no, don't kill that bug. I'm like, it's just a bug. She said, no, the bug is our friend. It's a ladybug.
Mm.
And I felt like 2 cents waiting on change. But again, you know, our kids in the Freedom School, you know, they're in science. And so they know what good bugs are. They know what bad bugs are. They you know, we teach them, we drill them on different bugs to understand, you know, what is the purpose of a lady? You know, what is the purpose of an ant? You know, we had problems with aphids when we planted our black eyes. We partner with university, I forget the university name, one of the departments in state, and they went over, I believe, to Nigeria, and they were doing an experiment to bring the Nigerian black eyed pea to the United States and to see how would the aphids in the United States act toward that Nigerian black eyed pea. Well, come to find out, we partnered with the university. They came over with all their stuff and research material. And we planted like maybe a 100-foot row of Korean black IP and American black IP. And come to find out, aphids that's in America would not eat black IP tonight. And so it takes a lot. Farmer to please spraying, and use those pesticides, which is not funny. So we learned from spraying black eyed pea. We're not the one. And people say, well, what aphids? Aphids is a little black bug that, you know, you may see running and calling your aphids. And, Brother Chris, you probably know more about this science than I do, but from what I'm told, that the aphids gets on the back of the ants, and the ants everywhere, and they lay the aphids on the leaves, and so anyway, that's how they grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we at the Fresno School, like I said, we teach our children how to bake, how to cook, you know, science. You know, the whole ball of wax, how to drive the tractors, how to make throws.
Right.
We're going to be buying some more equipment.
Yeah,
we're going to be buying some equipment. You know, we're known for our watermelon jelly and, you know, black pea dip. I mean, it's just so much that the Fresno Freedom School has to offer. And really, I'm excited. I get excited too much, those who know me. But I'm excited about this Fresno Freedom School and Metro and Chris, because I think, you know, I was telling someone today, we're going to have to figure out how to live in the country in peace. Now, I would think that that would be easy, but it's not. It's very difficult. But I think food brings people together. I mean, I think food, and we look at, you know, the Native Americans, you know, our monks, our Indian communities, everybody has their own way of cooking. And what a better way to come together as a community. you show me how to I'll show you how to and you show me how to season this and I'll show you how to season this. And that's how we build relationships here in this country, and especially in Fresno, because, you know, we have to understand that Fresno 93706 has the highest concentration of property in America. That's huge. We're
huge.
From the middle of poverty. Poverty. But yet we sit in the middle base of $60 billion a year in ag, but Fresno has the most concentrated problem. So, you know, I just feel that we need to change that narrative. I just feel that we're going to come together, two organizations, and really, you know, teach the community, love our community, laugh with our community, cry with our community, you know, empower our community. You know, I mean, that's what we're about. You know, we get our into black historical colleges, you know, and I can really see, Eileen, that the benefit of Freedom School students and our staff going over to the UMD Village Pride Garden, and they can teach us something, you know. I just think that I'm going to stop right there. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We are dedicating this whole entire month to Maria, who was the president of the Fresno Freedom School. Our dear sister passed away, but we're dedicating this entire month to her legacy, to her children, to her family. Those who want to call in, 319-527-6060. We have our guest tonight, Chris. Chris, he's the manager of this beautiful, beautiful garden here in West Fresno. And so, Brother Chris, is there anything else that you would like to tell us? I mean, I really love the way you put that water on over there with your phone. And you don't even have to come out and cut the water on like me. And you just cut it on by your phone.
Yeah, that was for our native plants. Yeah, because we want to make sure that we, like, establish a good native plant system out there so we don't have to use so much, like, pesticides. That way we bring, like, beneficial insects in. Yeah,
right.
But I wanted to – I really like what you said about, like, gardens bringing community, and I just wanted to leave one more, like, note about – the project that we're working on and how it's helped build community. When Amber and I first kind of really were starting on the project and we broke ground in October of 2019 last year, we wanted to re-engage with those residents that, like we mentioned at the beginning, like I mentioned, the design process took so long to get it approved that the residents that were engaged just did not, like, were not around anymore. So we were trying to re-engage residents. We met with, like, the engagement people from the housing authority. Like, there's a community relations person and someone else that, like, takes, you know, like, the office work and stuff like that. And so we met with them and we were like, okay, like, we want to meet, like, your engaged residents. What kind of classes or groups do you have for parents? Do they want to do nutrition classes? And they kind of told us that the residents at those two housing complexes were not very well engaged, that the only success that they've had is with the children, doing, like, small groups of children. And so we were like, okay, well, like, that's a start. That's, like, somewhere that we can start. And they were a little, like, a little skeptical of, they, like, said, we'll help you as much as we can, but they were like, but we've tried to engage residents, we pass around flyers, we tell them about classes, but, like, no one shows up. And I think we found one resident when we had our, like, planting day. Her name is Trisha, and she is awesome. She, like, knows so much about farming. She's pushed us so much to, like, move forward. We were going to wait until we had, like, the site kind of almost finished before we let residents come in, and she was like, I will help you if you just let me grow. And I was like, that is that yes. She, like, pushed us so much to, like, and she's helped so much. She then told her neighbor, and then her neighbor got involved, and then then we started having some vandalizing problems where some people would come into the site and like steal their stuff, take their whole plants, which broke their heart. Mm-hmm. They were like, if they would have asked me for food, I'll give them food. But they right. stole the whole plant.
Wow.
And so we talked about, like, do we increase security? Would that make the garden look like less peaceful? And so the answer that they came up with was, we just need more gardeners. When there's people here gardening, like
right.
nothing gets stolen. There's more people care about the place. Like, so they're going to watch it. And so now we have a garden leadership team of 6 people. And they pretty much are the ones that recruited all of the other gardeners. By like every time they saw someone walking near the garden or they saw someone that was always around, they like stopped them and were like, hey, like, what's your name? What are you doing? And I think that like slowly started a community. And now the community outreach people in the office come up to us and they're like, whoa, like I didn't believe you could do it. Like, I didn't think people would come. I didn't think that anyone would be engaged in the garden. And now they're asking us for nutrition classes and ways that they can.
You're highlighting exactly what the problem. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
You're highlighting exactly what the problem is when the city or the county approaches community of color. They want to come and tell them what they should be doing and how they should be doing it instead of asking them. You know,
uh-huh.
the approach that you and Amber had was more inclusive, inquisitive, and engaging, as opposed to dictatorial. Patriarchal and, you know, controlling. So,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, so Charlene, I was just about to say that, and you picked right up on that point. And what I like what they did was they went to the people in the community and said, what would you like, Matt? What we're going to give you. And that
uh-huh.
speaks volume. That helps things move forward a lot faster.
Absolutely.
It makes people trust you a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, and also just getting people talking, too.
Right. Absolutely. That, when you said building community, I kind of got a shiver because that's what this is about. Can you imagine if everybody in all these projects brought, I hate to even say a cultural dish or ethnic dish, that they have grown the produce. But that's what this is about. Fresno County, I don't know what it is now, but when I worked for the public library, there were like, Chris, I think there were like 100 different ethnicities speaking 80 different languages. It was either that or the reverse, you know, like 80. So we have a multitude of people here in this valley that food is like the common denominator. So I'm very excited about, you know, the work that you and Amber are doing. And I'm really hoping to learn from you guys. And maybe we can do some cross-pollination with classes because we have some very knowledgeable kids in Fresno Freedom School who do tours and who lecture about mm-hmm. the different plants and, you know, the produce that we have. So I'm hoping, you know, that we're laying a good foundation for that in the future.
Mm-hmm. I 100%
mm-hmm.
agree.
You know, one of the things that if those go to my Facebook, Floyd Harris Jr., I've been cooking all day again and just making some different dishes, salads, just some different healthy type of eating. You know, I think as leaders, we have to lead by example. I know, you know, the and food is very controversial, I'm learning. People get
yeah.
to argue about meat, should we eat meat, should we not eat meat, should we drink milk, should we not drink milk. But, you know, I think if you, you know, do your own research, you'll find the answer, should we be eating certain things. But, you know, I just want to say that, you know, I took my entire front yard this year and turned it into a garden. And, you know, our children came over, planted seeds. We usually plant behind the church at New Light. Because of the COVID-19, we decided to kind of scale back. But my point is that if you go to my Facebook, we grew a watermelon this year that weighed, I believe, 25 and a half pounds. I know last year we had a watermelon that was like 30 pounds. And so,
yeah,
you know, what we're going to do with this watermelon is we're going to make watermelon jelly. that's what Freedom is known for. And well, there's some other dishes, eggplant pieces and stuff like that. But we're going to turn it into some watermelon jelly. We're going to take the rime and pickle it and also make some watermelon candy. But, you know, those are the type of things that we, you know, maybe those that's living in the apartment, you know, we really can't do it right now per se. But we're trying to figure out how can we be very intentional and strategic on how to be creative right now because of the social distance. How can we stay engaged with our students if it's on Zoom or whatever it may be? You know, because, you know, our children believe in us. You know, they may not understand all the COVID stuff and, you know, the disease, but I think that, you know, as leaders, we're going to have to figure out a way to but do it in a different way than how we did do it until they can figure out what they're going to do with all this COVID stuff. But I'm just excited, my friend, that you are on our show. I'm honored that you are on our show tonight. We have a lot of people listening on live stream. We have people listening all across the world. Now, is there, as we move towards closing, is there a phone number, a website, contact information that those followers that we have from Freedom School that may want to call you, get involved, may take a tour of the site over there? How can people from the community reach you?
Yeah, so we have an Instagram and a Facebook. We're under Permaculture Fresno because we really want to imbue the permaculture like concepts of bringing community and using energy from the garden and connecting it with nature and food. So we're under Permaculture Fresno. And then we also, they can contact us at the Fresno Metro office, which is 559-485-1416. Amber's usually in the office there. Right now I'm working offsite, but we can always be reached there too.
Okay, got it.
And
okay.
Did I hear you give the website too?
Right now we don't currently have a website. We just have the Facebook page. We're still working on it.
Okay, great.
That's
no
Permaculture Fresno. Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show. We really, really appreciate you, Brother Chris. We'll be in contact with you again here in the future, and I like in the future. And I'd like to thank Brother Tony for coming and listening to the show. This is what we do. Dr. Harry, Black Lives Matter. We educate, motivate, organize, and mobilize and take our youth to a higher level. That's just what we're supposed to do as elders now. We want a healthy community. We want in peace. We want to live in harmony. And I'm just silly enough to think that food can bring people together. Food can bring people together from all walks of life where we can sit down table or set the tablecloth and sit down and talk to one another and hear each other's stories, and we'll find out that we have a lot of similarities with each other if we just sit down and talk. Stop being so judgmental, but start being having open ear to where my brother and sister's not asking for a handout but asking for a hand up. And I don't think anything is wrong with that, because one day I may be up today and down tomorrow. And if you see me down, hey, give me a hand so I can get back up. So, good night to you. I'd like to thank all of our live streamers. Keep following Fresno Freedom School. Go to our website, www.fresnofreedomschool.com. Please go to YouTube. There's tons of YouTube links there. Google our name. Fresno Freedom School, we made national news. That's right. Fresno Freedom School made national news with Civil Eats, one of the number one ag newspapers here in the country. That's right. You're true and only. Fresno Freedom School made national news. Our children, our staff, our community. We are here to represent you. We're here to educate your children and love your children and love you as well. I'm going to say Hotep, Sister Aline, can you give us what you always tell us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. We want everybody to stay black till we get back. Take care, y'all.
Brother Tony, can you give us the last word?
Everybody reach one, teach one. Stay safe and take care, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah.